should be about God and what God is doing and who He is. It should not be a time of coming up and boasting about your achievements. It's not a time to come up and gossip about, you know, the latest news. It's not a time to come up and like just rant and rave and just get on your soapbox and talk about whatever's okay. This is a time, please focus it on, again, what God is doing in your life, what God is kind of teaching you, showing you, and that ultimately He's the one who gets glory of these sharing. Okay, so please keep it Christ-centered. Number two is please keep it clear, all right? Clear in two ways. One, like when you come up, please talk into the microphone, all right? So don't right, so please talk into the microphone. There are people who are in the cry room who can't hear you unless they're talking to the microphone. Please stand here where I am standing so that, again, they can get a good visual of you as well from the camera. And then also, you know, try to don't ramble and, you know, go off on too many rabbit trails or anything like that. Please keep it clear of what your message is. And then that kind of ties into the third C, which is please keep it concise. We don't want your whole life story, as much as that is amazing. Please keep it to just a few minutes and just keep it concise. All right, so those are kind of the three C's: Christ-centered, keep it clear, keep it concise, and yeah, we want to hear from you. One of the things that I have heard it said is that God is doing something in your life, and if you don't come up and share that, you're actually robbing God of, like, His glory, because, you know, this is a time for you to kind of share, kind of praise God, tell people what God is doing. And so don't rob Him of that. If God is doing something, if God is teaching you and moving in you, you know, tell people so that other people can be encouraged, they can be challenged, and they can glorify God, they can praise God. All right? So we're just going to kind of open it up, and as you feel led to come up and share. But to give you guys a little bit of a time, why don't I share first, okay? All right. And then we can have you guys think about it, and hopefully you guys will have some time to share. All right. So a couple of weeks ago, if you guys don't know, our youth, we went to our the youth retreat. We joined two other churches, and we've been doing this for 5 years. And it's and for the 5 years that we've done it, it's always just been they go up there and they worship God and they listen to God's word and that's it. And then, not that's it, but that they don't leave the campsite. But this year, we wanted to do something different. We were challenged and encouraged. We said we wanted to send them out into the world to give them a chance to actually talk to people about God, to just put what they're learning into practice and to go. And as we're leading up to that, the biggest concern and prayer that we had was the weather. That was a huge thing because the weather said that it would rain, and if it was going to rain too hard, then, you know, we're not going to send them out into the rain, just, you know, completely just, you know, it was pouring too hard. Also, the places that we wanted to go, some were outdoors, like to the beach, to campus, and to other places. And so we were like, if it's raining too hard, we're just going to have to scrap it. You know, we're not going to send them out. But we really wanted to do this. And so we were praying about it, praying. And as we went up on Friday night, it was raining pretty hard. Saturday was pretty clear, but then towards the end of the Saturday started to rain, and Sunday was when we were going to send them out. And so me and the other leaders were talking about it. We're like, should we cancel it? Should we not? You know, should we tell parents not to come up and help drive because we need drivers and all these things? But eventually we're like, you know what? We're just going to go out in faith. We're just saying, have parents come up, help us drive these students out. We're just going to send them regardless of the weather. And on Sunday morning when it was raining, but it's not raining super hard. It was drizzling. And so we're like, all right, at least, you know, we can go and send them out. And so we did. And you can talk to them, and hopefully maybe some of them will share, hint, hint, about their experience. But they were able to talk to people about God. You know, just interactions, you know, just out having them serving others and loving others and having just conversations with people. And I thought that was really cool. That's God that kind of, you know, held off the rain. It said 90% showers at that time, and it wasn't showering. And then when we got back, it started to really pour from like Sunday night into Monday. It was just all raining really hard. And so I give God praise for that. I think He kind of held off the rain just enough to let us to do this. And so I'm really excited about that. It was cool to hear. I've heard some things from the youth of their experiences and post coming back and still sharing their faith with others. And so praise God for that. All right? Cool. All right, so this is what we're going to do. I am going to leave this microphone up here, and we are just going to open up the time and let you guys hopefully come up and share. If it moves, come up. Share your name, say who you are, and so that we can kind of know, and then go ahead and just, yeah, what God is doing. What is God doing in your life? We'd love to hear it. And if it takes too long, if no one really has anything to share, then you know what, we'll just move on. Okay, so hopefully, God is moving in your heart. So come share. Share what God is doing.
Hey everyone, my name is Ming, and in case you didn't guess it, I'm going to share about this little one right here. So for those who haven't met her, this is Kara.
Say hi.
Okay, so she's a little shy still. She's almost 8 months old, and we were lucky to welcome her into our family on July 10th, 2016. And I wanted to share about just kind of how having her has taught her just how to love in ways that never thought possible. There you go. So I think just a little glimpse into my journey as a parent. When May got pregnant, it's kind of like one of those things where it happens and you're like, I guess it's time. You know, we're with that time. But I wasn't like super excited about it because you know that your life is changing and you see people around you and you're like, you know, it's pretty hard. And then when she was born, and the story of her birth is probably a different story. With May can give her testimony on that, but it's mine. So when she was born, that was like the first 2 weeks was just abject horror. Like, it was just like, I couldn't remember anything, you barely sleep, you're delirious. And for the better part of the first month, I would say I legitimately, I use the word, like, hate, because it's a very strong word, but like, I hated this thing. It was like, keep this animal alive that just wanted to torture you for every soul, every fiber of your being, and you miserable for the better part of a month. And it was so tough. I remember there are times when we were her, she's just crying nonstop, and I think there was a moment where I legitimately, like, it just overwhelmed the situation. Just like, stop. Not that loud, though. Much louder than that. And it's just frustrated, right? And you're just like, I don't know, like, how I can make this happen, how this is even possible. Why would anyone do this? Why would anyone have kids? This is ridiculous. But then time went on. I think God really taught us and showed us the value of, you know, having a child, and, you know, and it really just kind of created this patience and this love inside of you that you never thought was possible. Like, the amount that I love her is just unfathomable to me, that why I would and why I could love so much. Exactly. She totally agrees. And it's like, and it's always like one of those things where, you know, your parents have probably always said, at least my parents have said to me, like at some point in time, sort of the love that they have for us, they're like, you'll never understand how much we love you. And it's totally true. Like, without going through the experience, I could never really truly fathom how much my parents could love me. When I look at her, like, any little thing that happens wrong to her, like, it just aches and pains me inside. Like, recently she's a little sick, so whoever's using this mic next, I would probably disinfect it. But, like, she's a little sniffly, and she's a little, like, she's got a little, like, snot in her mouth or in her chest, and she's cold, and every time I hear her breathe and it's not clear, it hurts me. You know, every time she's crying because she bumps her head somewhere, like, it hurts me. Like, it's such a deep, deep pain because you love her so much, and you want to protect her, and you want the best for her each and every day. And, like, I don't know how this came about. I don't know how there was room in my heart to be able to love her like this. But God really just created that within me in many ways. So I think having her has been one of the hardest things we've ever had to do. It's completely changed me and May's lives radically in ways that we'll never get back. We'll never be back to watching movies just kind of really easily whenever we want. Maybe not for another, like, 20, 30 years. But I would never change any of it. It has been the most amazing transformative experience ever, and she has been, each and every day, every minute we get to see her and play with her has been absolutely amazing. So she's my, okay. So she is my testimony for this time, and hopefully many of you who haven't had kids yet get to experience that very, very soon. Thank you.
the right spot? Okay. Hi, I'm Crystal, and I'm sharing a little bit of what God has shown me this past week, actually. So, this past week, I'm in the medical field, and a patient came in, and I saw this patient, and afterwards, he said, you know, you look very familiar. I say, okay, you know, it's my last patient of the in the morning, so I have time to talk to him. So it turned out that this patient of mine, his name is Peter, was just trying to figure out where he could have met me and that kind of stuff. Turned out two years ago when I shared at the Luke Medical Mission Conference, I shared a testimony about how God humble me and make me really broken during my journey as a missionary in China with serving with OMF. And, you know, I just shared my heart out 2 years ago at this medical mission conference. And to me, it's still very emotional when I share that, you know, testimony. And so the lesson was this, that turned out this person was there doing my sharing, and it make an impact in his life. And so he shared with me, this person was a pastor in Southern California maybe 5 years ago, and he was serving at this big Korean American church. And what happened was 5 years ago, his marriage went bad, and he had a divorce. And because of that, he could not continue his pastoring position at the church, and he didn't have any energy, and, you know, he so just lost everything, and working at Whole Foods now. And so when when I share about 2 years ago, my brokenness that I share impacted his life and how he had, you know, regained strength since now. But it just humbles me that God will use someone, you know, a very broken testimony, and how God used humble me and to encourage someone else. So I guess, you know, God's always working, even though our life's not perfect and our lives always have mistakes, and sometimes in human life is such a failure, but somehow God make it wonderful to encourage someone else. So that's something God encouraged me this past week.
I wanted to share an experience that I had over the Christmas holiday. I had just gotten off of a really hectic and exciting year at work, and had just gotten out for a long kind of Christmas break, and had gotten the flu like a couple days before Christmas. And on Christmas Eve, really early in the morning, I woke up and something was really wrong with my eyesight, but it was dark, so I just figured I was really sick and went back to bed. But when it got light and I woke up, I realized that I had double vision, and I didn't know how it had happened and felt kind of sick as a dog, actually, just with the flu symptoms. But I told Roland, and then I was texting my optometrist, who was probably on vacation at that point, but I just didn't know what was going on. And Roland did some Googling and realized, and called my brother-in-law, who's an emergency medicine doctor in San Diego, and everyone realized this is not a normal situation, and my brother-in-law urged Roland to take me to the emergency room. So we ended up in the emergency room and spent Christmas Eve and Christmas Day getting scanned for all kinds of things that I didn't even imagine could be the cause of this. Like, they were trying to figure out if I had had a stroke or I had a big brain tumor, and all of a sudden it was causing this. So I spent Christmas Eve in the hospital, and then Christmas Day they were trying to get me into to get an MRI, and the thing wasn't open because everybody was on holiday. It was just a very confusing time, actually. Roland and the girls were actually really sick with the flu also, so they couldn't even make it to the hospital. So we were all just sick as anything. After a whole bunch of scans, they realized, no, it isn't a brain tumor. It isn't a stroke. We don't know what's going on. They somehow got me into the MRI, unlocked the building, and like got me in for an hour-long scan, and still couldn't find anything. So they just released me. I still had the double vision and no idea of what was happening or when it was going to be over. And leaving the hospital, I realized that life could be changed for a long time. I just really didn't know. We got home and I realized like there were very basic things I couldn't do. I couldn't read, I couldn't drive, I couldn't help the kids with basic things or cook for them. And obviously I couldn't go back to work because, you know, I can't use a computer or anything. So there were a few things we did when we got home. One was call an old college friend of ours who is an optometrist in Chicago. And he basically said, you know, these things usually resolve themselves if they happen on their own, usually in about 3 to 6 months. We just went to see some doctors, but basically we were told just, be at home, twiddle your thumbs, and wait for something to happen. So during that time, I think God brought me through a pretty major spiritual kind of just be still and be at his feet kind of experience. I think over the past probably decade or two, I've been really used to being very self-sufficient, getting things done on my own, multitasking like a million things at one time. And he brought me to a major standstill, something that I couldn't control whatsoever. And I remember lying there on my bed one of these mornings where I couldn't really do anything, and having to address the reality that if this were a permanent thing, could I be okay with this? Could I be okay with life being very different and for me to be completely disabled? And if God was greater glorified through this than me being a capable working citizen in normal society, could I be okay with this? And that really brought me to my knees, really. I mean, literally and spiritually. During this time, Roland let some of our brothers and sisters know, and one of the things that made me cry the hardest was just knowing that there were people in various parts of the country and even around the world who were praying for me. I had never experienced that before at such a large scale. And there were people in San Diego, where my sister lives, in Atlanta, here at Canaan, in Chicago, where my our optometrist friend was, even people in Singapore who were praying for me. People I didn't even know who continued to encourage us during this time. There were people who showed up at our door with food and set up a meal train for us, and just different things that really touched me. At the same time, God started healing my eyesight within within the first couple of weeks, I was able to kind of regain some partial vision, where I could, the problem with the double vision was kind of going away. And so it gave us hope that, you know, if it wasn't 3 months or 6 months, it might actually be sooner. And so actually over the course of 6 weeks, it actually resolved itself. And I really praise and glorify God, because this could have been a permanent situation. It could have been a 6 month situation. And it made me realize that, you know, when you're living that day to day and night to night, it's 6 months is a long time. 3 days is a long time to not be able to see or to do that, the normal things. I think through this experience, God really taught me, I mean, many things, many, many things. One was about how the body of Christ can meet us in a time of need. Also, just what it means to really rest and depend on God in a way that I had really never experienced before in this way. And then when things finally started resolving, I felt like it was really important to tell people about it and to let them know that what God had done. And this incident has actually opened up a number of different conversations after the fact with a cousin who, through this experience, kind of shared with me more about where he is spiritually, some coworkers who, you know, I've shared some of this with, my next door neighbor. And I believe that not only did God show amazing, bountiful grace through this, but also that that it's on me to continue to share what God has done, because it opens doors to his glory. It highlights what he's able to do, what he is willing to do, and his great love. So thank you all for praying for me, for those of you who knew what was going on and who showed up. We really, really appreciate it.
Hey guys, I'm Chris Chen, and I'm gonna be sharing about the boardwalk evangelist thing we went to over the retreat. So I went with Jeremy, and I wish to tell you guys that we were successful, but 0-20, you know, taking L's left and right, going to everyone, like saying hi, and then, you know, you discover they're a magician, they're just gone. You know, then you go to the next person, you're like, hey, and then, you know, there's just no conversation, right? And the entire day, me and Jeremy walking around and just getting rejected and then just talking to no one, right? And like, oh, me and Jeremy, like, oh, that kind of sucks, you know? We did nothing, you know? Everything we learned was useless. And then so we come back to the retreat, and this guy named Barry, right? He had a really good testimony, and his testimony was about how God, he's like a father, right, with a newborn daughter. And she's just learning to walk, right? And God doesn't see that when the baby gets up, takes a few steps and falls, the father doesn't see her fall, but he sees that she got up and tried. And that's how God is like for us, right? God just wants us to try, and he wants us to do our best. And like for you guys, you know, whether you go to school or work, he just wants you to try and reach out to that one person, you know? And God just wants you to try your best. Whether you fail or not, he's very happy. So that's what I learned. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Alina, and I was, like, really resistant to coming up here to speak, but then I remember Lydia at the retreat, she was like, if the Holy Spirit is, like, pushing you to go, your heart will start beating really fast. So yeah, my heart's beating really fast right now. And okay, so similar to Christian's story, our evangelism quest wasn't that successful either. So the seniors and some of the juniors, we went to UC Santa Cruz to cold evangelize, and so we were in the library, and we just started walking around, and we realized that everyone was just studying, and no one was up to, like, have a conversation with us. So we ended up, like, touring the library, like, four times. We went up the stairs, down the stairs, and we were just walking around. And then one of the campus ministry leaders, she was like, okay, this is the person. And I looked at her, and I was like, oh, she's, like, busy. And so the campus leader, she led us to her, and I was like, okay, this is, like, my turn to talk to her. And I kind of blinked out, and I was like, okay, do you have a spiritual background? And that's, like, not the question you ask when you're trying to have a conversation with her. So she was like, yeah, and then I was like, okay, so what do you believe in? And she said she was busy, so we left her, and then, yeah, so that didn't go as planned. And then, so at the retreat, the speaker was like, God doesn't care if you fail, but if you fail forward, that's what he wants you to learn from. So when retreat ended, I flew to Boston to visit some colleges, and on the plane ride, there was this lady sitting next to me. I was like, okay, this is God telling me to, like, learn from my mistakes and to, like, have a conversation with this person. So, yeah, I ended up having a conversation with her, and it turns out that she was Christian, and I got to, like, listen to her testimony, and I shared mine, and, yeah, I thank God for, like, letting me have this experience to, like, have a conversation with someone. Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for sharing. I know it's not easy to stand in front of people and to talk. And so, we praise you for that. The whole thing with the evangelism, we just wanted people to go and talk, just to talk to strangers, because, you know, we're not used to doing that. And so I'm glad they got a chance to try and fail and to fail forward. We're going to do this. Okay. We're going to have a time of prayer.